Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, January 12th, 2011. Well, the joy I felt looking at my first royalty statement from the publisher of Chasing the Wind was dampened by the actual amount that I was looking at, along with the fact that my royalties were being used to pay off copies of books I had sitting in my living room, waiting for me to sell them at signing parties and other events. The economics of art, in this case writing, is a two-edged sword. On the one hand, most writers write because they feel compelled to write, and making money isn't their primary aim. On the other hand, earning a living from the difficult work, and it is work, of putting ideas and thoughts into words is a dream most writers I know have. In a few moments, we're going to launch into the first of an infrequent series called The Economics of Art, which will feature the perspective of producers, consumers, and supporters of art. My first guest, who will be taking on this subject in a few minutes, is N.J. Lindquist, author and co-founder of The Word Guild, and we'll be talking to N.J. in a moment.
Everybody needs a friend. Now's the time to talk to strangers, 'cause we know how the story ends. Shine your light into the darkness. Yeah, shine bright so we can see. Shine, shine, shine on Jesus. Streets, there's children crying. They're all alone, no one to love. What will it take to light a fire? Who needs to push? Who needs to shine? Shine your light into the darkness. Yeah, shine bright so we can see. Shine, shine, shine on Jesus.
That was Shine On from the Sons of Light CD by Ottawa area singer-songwriter Scott Tuage. And now to our conversation with N.J. Lindquist. Let's start with a couple of things about you first, Nancy. When did you actually start writing yourself?
When did I start writing?
Yeah.
Probably before I could write, in that I started making up stories when I was 3, 4, and I would spend hours by myself, like when my parents thought I was sleeping, just making up stories. So it's just always been there.
So when did you get to the point where you started putting pen to paper or pencil to paper and actually writing some of these stories down?
Well, obviously you have to do a little bit of that in school. The first thing that I actually had published, I was 12, and it was a letter to the editor of my local newspaper. And I think when I was 12, I actually started writing a book and then decided that was going to be a lot more work than I had been prepared for.
Mm-hmm. Well, when did you get to the point where the thought of earning money from your writing, when did that start crossing your mind?
Actually, after I was married and I decided that I really didn't like housework all that well, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could write and pay somebody else to look after my house for me.
And so when you first got payment for the first payment you ever got for something you wrote, what went through your mind as you were looking at that check?
My very, very first payment, I think, was $30 for something for a story for Christian Service Brigade. And I did cash it, but I believe I framed it. It was just, yeah, somebody actually will pay me money for something that I enjoyed doing, I think was my thought.
Now, did it occur to you that you can actually sort of start making a living out of something like that?
It occurred to me that it would be really cool to do that. I don't know. The funny thing is I never seriously thought of being a journalist or someone that I think is more inclined to actually make some money. Like if you write for the Toronto Star as a columnist or a sports reporter or something like that, you actually have a job writing. Never occurred to me to do anything like that. I more wanted to just do my stories. And I think I always knew that was kind of a nebulous sort of thing. Like, yeah, you might get lucky, but the chances were just, you know, better that you wouldn't get lucky. I don't know that I ever seriously thought I could make a living doing it.
Well, you touched on something that most writers go through is the fact that you just want to write. There's a need to write. And whether you ever see any money for it or any fame from it, it's just that you have to sit down and put words to paper. Is that something that you were going through at that particular point in time?
I think it's true for most people who have some kind of a creative bent, whether it's writing or painting or, you know, making up songs, singing. It's just something that if you don't do it, you don't feel complete.
Yeah, and it's that's you can't not do your art.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, when you got to the point and you started getting payment for your writing and that, have you actually been able to make a living as a writer?
No. I'm very fortunate. I recall years ago hearing Maxine Hancock saying that the best thing for a writer was to have a spouse with a real job. And I'm one of those people who has had a spouse. My husband worked for IBM. I have not had to work. I actually homeschooled, so I've been busy. I just haven't been getting paid for it. But if I had tried to actually live on my writing, I would be really hungry right now.
Well, have there been times where you've done things specifically to try and increase that income? I mean, you've got a number of books that are out there published both by, I believe, are all your books self-published, or do you have some royalty books out there?
I've had three different publishers, but I've also self-published, and in a couple of cases I've taken back books that were out of print, and then I've published them myself, yeah.
So
Yeah, it's not like I haven't tried. It's just there's just I could spend half an hour easily just talking about the difficulties faced by a Canadian writer who is a Christian who's trying to get books on the marketplace, because that's a whole nother ball game.
Well, and I think we're going to get into that, and what I need to do first is take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking to our guest, NJ Lindquist, and looking at her perspective on writers and the economics of art. I'm the economics of art. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Darkness, through many scenes of strife, the faithful few fought bravely to guard the nation's life. The gospel of redemption, sin, pardon, man restored, was all in this unfolded one church, one faith, one Lord, one church, one faith, one God. Hallelujah. One church, one faith, one God. Hallelujah. When shadows thick were falling and all seemed sunk in night, the Lord did send his servants, the chosen sons of light. On them and on his people his plenteous grace was poured, and this remained the message: one church, one faith, one Lord. One church,
one church,
one faith, one God. Hallelujah. One church,
one church,
one
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to One Church from Scott Tuwege's CD Sons of Light. And we're going to continue our conversation with N.J. Lindquist. N.J., just before we went to break, you started talking about the whole thing about being a Christian writer in Canada and trying to get your books on the market and that. That's one of the biggest challenges right now for writers, is actually getting to the point where they have a means of getting distributed and getting their the work that they've done out into the public. What has changed in the years since you started to where it is today?
Wow. My first book came out in 1991, so that's 21 years ago, and it was published by Moody Press in the U.S., and you know, you go into it thinking, wow, this is wonderful, I'm going to be famous, I'm going to sell thousands of books, and then the reality strikes you when you discover that your own local bookstore, Christian bookstore, where you've been buying books for years and years and years, isn't even carrying your book. and that's what happened to me. And so I started learning a whole lot of things I didn't really want to know about. As a Canadian, it is extremely difficult to be in the Christian market because the majority of books in our Christian bookstores were carried by the U.S. were published in the U.S. And for me to get published as a Canadian, I pretty well had to get a U.S. publisher. The good news is that has changed. There are books being published in Canada now. Not a lot of them, but they are making some inroads. And the other good news, of course, for writers is the internet. We can now market. We can be, you know, somebody very easily. We can have our websites and our Facebook pages and so forth, and in a way that sort of has leveled the playing field for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember having a conversation with Larry Willard from Castle Key Books at Write Canada, and we're talking about the whole thing about, even, you know, back when you know back in the early 90s, that if you were published by a royalty publisher, for the most part, they took care of the distribution, they took care of the public relations, they took care of the marketing. You, as a writer, you know, could, you know, do speaking tours and talk to people and try and sell yourself, but a lot of that was done by the royalty house. Now, more and more, even if it's a royalty publisher like Zondervan or HarperCollins or Moody or somebody like that, you as the author are the one that has to get out there and do the selling. Like you said, you can create your brand, your presence through the internet and social media. Has that been one of the biggest changes in the publishing industry, is the reliance on the author to be the person that sells the books rather than the publisher?
Well, there's always been an element of that. I mean, if you were a big name, you got to go and your publisher would take you around. But there have always been smaller publishers, and there have always been people self-publishing. I mean, Grant Jeffrey started out self-publishing in Canada years and years ago. But somebody like a Jeanette Oak, who's been, you know, mega books published, I mean, her publisher, Bethany, would take her and do a little tour with her. I don't think Jeanette has ever had to really get out and market her books. Nowadays, you're almost expected to have what they call a platform,
mm-hmm.
or they even want to publish your book. In other words, they're asking you, you know, how many books can you sell yourself? Never mind us. And as far as I'm concerned, that's like, that doesn't work for most writers.
Right. Yeah, well, and I find that with most writers, the writing aspect and the marketing aspect and the mindset that you need for both are two completely different characters and two completely different skill sets and mindsets. And most writers don't have that marketing mindset. There have been some that have put their mind to it and have developed that and have done well at it. But most writers, that's something that's very fairly foreign to them.
I remember Donald Moss, who is a top New York agent at a mystery conference I was at, saying that most writers want to be Jane Austen. And the reality is that after you have a book published, you have to become P.T. Barnum. And I thought that was probably definitive. We want to sort of be at our little computer or whatever, just writing and having our ideas flow, and then all of a sudden you have to turn into a door-to-door salesperson. I have a friend right now, Keith Clemens, who lived in Canada for 17 years. He's now in the U.S., but he literally is going door-to-door these days to sell his books, which just blows my mind.
Now Keith is a bit of an anomaly because he came from a marketing background and became a, and is writing, so he has that skill set to do even the door-to-door stuff.
I don't know that he enjoys it that much, but it's sort of like God told him to do this, so he's going to try it.
One of the other things I think facing writers and editors today is you've mentioned it. There are two things that have come up. One is self-publishing has really changed over the years. It used to be you could tell the difference between a self-published book and one that was published by a royalty house. Because it was a difference in the quality, a difference in the editing, a difference in even the formatting. But that has changed where now you can take some of the self-published books that are out there, put them up against something from a royalty house, and there's very little, if any, difference between the two. And more writers seem to be going that route. Is that something that you've noticed over the years?
Yeah, there are some fabulous books out there right now that are self-published. One good example is Kim Bergsma's book. On gardening, yep. Like, wow, she's done a fabulous job.
Yeah, I talked to Kim a couple of weeks ago, just before Christmas. What are some of the major challenges facing writers and authors and editors today as they try to, in some cases, earn a living or even learn a partial living out of their work?
What I think is the biggest problem is that there needs to be more of a community aspect to it. Writers' personalities, for the most part, are unique in that they're creative people, they're super sensitive, they're not necessarily good salespeople, especially of their own things. And what I would love to see is some kind of a community aspect where the people who want the arts to continue, whether it's writing or painting or whatever, music, we need fan clubs. We need people who will come and work with us. We need people who will go before us and tell others, you know, gatekeepers who know lots of people and can say, hey, look at these wonderful books, look at these wonderful, you know, songs. Somehow we need to be brought into the mainstream of the church in a way that our creativity is released, and I believe everybody has creativity, but we need to see creativity released in the church across Canada in a way that it has never been seen before.
Well, I need to take another quick break, and I'm going to come back and follow up on that point, because one of the things that you were involved with that helped do that was becoming part of the Word Guild and co-founding it. So we're going to take another quick break and be right back with our guest, N.J. Lindquist. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
We are called to be sons of light. We must fight for what we believe in, for what we believe in. When Jesus came, he looked for real men, not for the brightest or the best. He looked for guys who were just average. These sons of light he chose to bless. He knew that there'd be many dark times.
And you've been listening to Brothers in the Lord from Scott Towage's Sons of Light CD. Welcome back to Arts Connection. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to go into the final part of our conversation with N.J. Lindquist Just before the break, NJ, you were talking about people who were, coming together and creating community. In some cases, going out and being supporters and promoters of the art. But one of the things that you did and you were involved with was helping start up the Word Guild. And I've talked about the Word Guild in the past. We talked about the Write Canada Writers Conference and the Canadian Christian Writing Awards. But how has the Word Guild itself helped writers understand this whole concept of the economics of art, the economics of writing?
Well, unfortunately, too often we're the wake-up call.
I don't know how many times I've been at an author's or an editor's panel and somebody's asked about payment, and their jaws drop as each of the editors explain what the payment schedule is for their various publications. And that's been the wake-up call for them.
Yeah, that's for sure. And part of it is the dichotomy between Christian and mainstream. A lot of mainstream opportunities, if you can get in the New Yorker or whatever, you are going to make good money. The Christian community, and this is actually my husband and I were talking about it yesterday, because I just had another question, what if you can't afford the fees to come to Write Canada? We keep our fees as low as we possibly can, but we know there are tons of people out there that it's a real struggle for them to even come or to afford their membership in the Word Guild, which is really not that much. I don't know what's wrong with Christians and economy, but there's a problem there. I think there's a spiritual something that needs to be dealt with.
Well, I come back to the biblical principle of the worker being worthy of their hire, and somehow that hasn't translated into the arts in general. There's this whole aspect of if it's art, it's ministry. If it's ministry, it's free.
Yeah. And we're all struggling because of that. I mean, anybody who's doing like a Christian paper or a radio program, a TV program, anything like that, music, they're always, it seems to me there is this tendency, we've got to get it as cheap as we can. We've got to do the minimum, whatever. Can you come, can you do this? And I'm, feel for Write Canada too. I'd like to pay our speakers more, but we're trying to keep the cost down. And for someone who is a writer, I mean, if you were asking a doctor to do something for you, you would expect, generally speaking, to pay the doctor very well. In my point of view, writing is a lot like being a doctor, because words change lives, not physically, but in other ways. And when you cut out creativity, when you cut out the arts, there's a whole lot missing.
Well, it seems to come down to this whole question of fair value, and what is fair value when you're dealing with the arts. And that I think is something that I don't think either artists themselves have defined well. I know that there have been discussions on the Word Guild listserv at times about, I'm about to do a project, as a writer, as an editor, how do I determine what to charge, to do something like that? The question of you mentioned, some of the media, how do they pay compared to the mainstream? How can we get this to change so that artists are getting fair value for the work that they're doing?
Well, I know in some places, I have a friend in Hong Kong who actually, his church is paying him to write because they feel the value of what he's writing is something that contributes to the community. And so he's actually on a salary from the church for his writing, which I thought was an interesting idea. I don't know how you make these changes, because I think they're huge, but I would love to see. I mean, we do encourage someone who says they'd like to come to Write Canada and can't afford to. We say, well, go to your church. Ask if they will, cover it or give you a bursary or whatever you want to call it. I think it comes down to seeing the value, and part of our reality is we are so inundated with everything from the U.S. that there is sort of a, like, who cares, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If our local Christian Canadians can't make it, well, too bad, because we're getting all these things from the U.S. anyway, so do we really need it? Which comes back to how important is it that we have something for future generations that is Canadian? Who is documenting the Canadian Christian life? Who is documenting our perspectives in Canada? Because I don't think we are Americans in all the way we think. And before I've helped found the Word Guild, my husband and I actually had a different perspective. Our whole thing was to create some kind of help for what we call releasing stifled Christians to serve God effectively in Canada. And the Word Guild sort of came out of that by accident, because, and then we realized who's more stifled in Canada than our writers, who have few opportunities. The opportunities they do have don't pay well. You know, we all need deadlines, and nobody is saying to us, you know, come on, we need what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, we're like, you know, fighting in a dark room trying to punch our way out to say, hey, I'm here.
Right.
And I think ultimately what we need is prayer, and the Word Guild has a very strong prayer team, and one of our prayers from day one has been that doors will open in Canada and beyond. For writers who are Christian.
And that includes the whole economic part. And NJ, thanks very much for your time today. We've just run out of time, but you actually answered my last question before I asked it. So thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Robert.
You're welcome. And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. Thank you to my guest, NJ Lindquist, and be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.